Inna Mr. Baba den Botswana. Then Kenya no bina Ghana. Oh, what a beauty my lifestyle behold. Holy Ethiopia, protect me from the cold. Till I'm laid to rest, yes, always be depressed. There's no life in the West. I know the East is the best. All the propaganda can spread. Tongues with African fest. Organize and centralize. Come as one. Oversee shall be so many more than sad. Some new one replenish. Pure at in hand. Far too long we've been under this man. Some are say for bag of riches and then end empty hand. Why them is stupid and not found your dad. Easy and poor and you're meant to enter through an evil line. That it is for a rich guy to enter in a Zion. Take it from Iman. So, till I'm laid to rest. Yes, always be depressed. There's no living in the West. I know the East is the best. Lord, propaganda that spread. Tongues with African fest. Oh, I'm in bondage. Living is a mess. And I've got to rise up, alleviate the stress. No longer will I expose my weakness. See who seek knowledge begins the humbleness. Work 7 to 7, yet me still penniless. For the food of my table, master, God bless. All of the needy and shelterless. Ethiopia awaits all prince and princess. Till I'm laid to rest, yes. Always be depressed, there's no life in the West. I know the East is the best. All the propaganda them spread. Tongues with African fest. What good about some on the East? Everybody want a peace. Africa free, Africans mark up Mosiah speed. Unification, no number defeat. What today? We walking down Redemption Street. Ban up our head. Bible in a hand, one and hand. Make me try the promised land. Put you go down a Congo and then clash them on the land. The city of Ferraris with the last to come from. From Addis Ababa in a Botswana. Left Kenya, I ain't up in a Ghana. Oh, what a beauty, me I sight behold. Holy Ethiopia, protect me from the cold. Till I'm laid to rest, yes. Always be depressed, there's no life in the West. I know the East is the best. All the propaganda then spread. Tongues with African fest. Organize, centralize, come as one.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. What is Sexy and Van City? I don't know. I think you're going to have to tune in and find out on 101.9 FM at 10 o'clock Wednesday nights. Stay tuned. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners if you're listening to this later after tonight. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. So, what are you thinking about this week? What has brought Valentine's Day out for you? What do you love? What are you passionate about? Think of these things, because I've got a very particularly passionate person in the booth with me, and there's lots of different ways to be passionate in your life. And one of the coolest things about the person that I have in the booth with me, well, many, many things, is how he helps so many different communities in so many different ways, to the point that he is up for a Successful You Small Business Award. Who am I talking about? Are you wondering? Are you thinking? Well, if you haven't guessed already, I'm talking about the one, the only, the lovely, who's giggling at me right now, Mark Smith from Amuse Consulting. And Mark is up for one of the Successful You Small Business Awards, which I'm really excited about. He had me in his office this morning because I wrote him a letter of support, and I got to speak about why I love Mark. So it was like, why don't we take it to the next level, and why don't you come into the show?
Do I have to be sexy?
I think you are sexy.
I don't know if I can do that sexy voice for very long.
I think you are sexy, so you don't have to be. You just be you.
Thanks. I'm just going to have to do my 20 packs of cigarette a day, broken glass, and whiskey, my Brenda Vaccaro voice.
Maybe. Your Brendan. I don't know who that is. I don't know what that reference is.
You're such a baby, Caroline.
And I just look like a baby, and I'm naive. So congratulations for being a finalist for the Successful You Awards. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I have to be honest. It's one of the things that I'm most excited about. It's sort of, sorry, I'm stumbling over my words here, trying to be eloquent. There are lots of opportunities and times and where recognition is really great. And, you know, as a business owner, being recognized for the work is always fantastic. But for me personally, being recognized for work in the community that I've done and for the fact that how I show up in the world and having that be recognized is really, really humbling and exciting, and I'm thrilled. This is the category award that I'm most interested in being in, regardless of the outcome, about winning or not winning. It's not about winning, but because the other nominees are amazing.
So tell me a little bit about, I think we might actually have a caller.
If that's my mother, I'm going to shoot her.
Well, let's find out who we've got calling in for our show. I'm very curious. So let's find out. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio.
Hey, this is Andy, and I'm at the live broadcast right now.
Hi.
Are you doing your show now?
I am, yes.
Oh, great. Did you, because I was just letting you know you could stop the broadcast anytime and just start your show.
Oh, I think I have, haven't I?
Or yeah, no, that'd be great. We aren't sure because we just have the thing running. But as long as you turn it off, then that's fine.
Perfect. You're actually on air. Do you want to say anything to my listeners right now, Andy?
Wow, you just put me on the spot.
We thought you were a caller. We thought this was so exciting.
We thought you were
listening.
The caller
keep
that we were
listening.
Expecting.
Don't turn it off.
And anything you want to say about why you love CITR and what you're passionate about?
Well, tonight I got to see a really strange group of composers play different kinds of pieces I've never heard before. So without CITR, I wouldn't have done that. So.
Cool. Well, I think that's very cool, and hopefully it's an opportunity not only to show all different types of diversity in terms of music, which
yeah,
I think is cool,
exactly.
But as well as that, hopefully it's a great opportunity to meet lots of people, because Van City is one of those places where hopefully people are connecting, meeting, networking, and having those opportunities to connect, and maybe fall in love and be passionate about stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Great.
Awesome.
Well, I'm glad you got on air.
Thank you.
And we're not just playing random music.
Right. No, I'm here in the flesh. Have a wonderful night, and I'm going to get back to my guest, the lovely Mr. Wonderful, yeah, Mr. Mark Smith.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Now, you see, that was a great lesson, actually.
That was a great lesson.
Because here I was feeling all excited that we had a caller thinking how fantastic I was, when in reality, humble pie slapped me in the face. It was just, please make sure you're on the air. Awesome. That is awesome. Never get ahead of yourself or believe your own press.
Well, you know, I actually thought it was going to be Jennifer from Community is who I thought it was, where it's like, wow, you said she might be calling in. It might be possible because of the fact that was one of the reasons that in terms of the finalists. Because, so listeners, if you're just joining right now, I'm talking to the wonderful Mark Smith, who is nominated for a Successful Youth Small Business Award. And one of the reasons he's been nominated is he's nominated in the, what is the?
Best Community Impact.
Best Community Impact, which he's impacted community all through Vancouver on many different ways. Community is a huge chunk. And
community with a Q.
Which I love. And do you want to explain to our listeners what community is in case they're not familiar with it?
Sure. So to start off by, and I told you, I warned you I would do this. I am not a staff person or employed by community. I don't speak for community. So, but as a volunteer and someone who's passionate about the work that they do, community is BC's queer resource center. It's physically located within the heart of the West End on Davie and Butte on the second floor. I think it's above the Money Mart. Luckily, I've not had to go and get my checks cashed there. So I never really pay attention, but I believe, you know, I know it's on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, community is a resource for our entire community at large to, you know, they actually serve youth, and they have a Pride Speak program, which addresses youth in schools and, you know, with bullying and coming out and gay-straight alliances, and as a support, and actually, I believe, also helps to create learning aids, etc., and helping schools and teachers so that they can, you know, create a more safe learning environment, which is the goal of, you know, schools, that they should create an environment where kids can learn.
Definitely.
They also, and then they run everything else all the way through to a seniors program. So, you know, if you are straight, which I'm going to, you know, make an assumption and say that probably 70% of your listeners probably identify as heterosexual. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, as you get later in life, you know, your options are obviously your family taking care of you, or if that's not an option, you go into a care facility and, you know, you're there with, you know, your neighbors and et cetera, and the rest of the community. And, you go on. But what happens if you're identified as gay or lesbian or transgendered? So now all of a sudden you've had your, most of your life, you've been marginalized because you're the 10%. And now in your older age and you're being forced into a facility with perhaps, you know, 200 other individuals that all might identify as heterosexual, and you might be the only gay person in this senior center. So now, I'm not saying that community actually runs a senior center, but they do have programs for seniors. So.
And I thought that was fantastic, especially with so many of our baby boomers retiring, and there's going to be such a huge increase in terms of seniors. So I think it's fantastic that there are seniors programming, as well as, so it's not just where they start going to an organization and, oh, you turn 30 or, oh, you turn 55. You can't use our services anymore, that they have all through the life. And I think that's fantastic.
Right. And these are a lot very social. So, you know, perhaps it might be an outing to the symphony or to the orchestra or to a play or to a movie, or just, you know, it's about helping, you know, the elder community. And elder is a broad term, which I'm not exactly sure of the age range, but I believe it's 45 and older. But it's really about, you know, providing an opportunity for people that identify in that category that
to connect.
Maybe they've had a partner loss, you know, through, you know, through, you know, maybe a cancer or HIV AIDS, or, you know, just an accident of life, who knows? And so, you know, it's just, it's an opportunity for them to, you know, to connect. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's a common human emotion. We all want to be loved.
It's very true. Actually, it's part of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, actually, in regards to that. If people all need to feel love, they need to be respected. And I think it's important to provide opportunities for everybody to be loved and respected.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that yesterday was Happy Single Awareness Day. So, you know, I felt completely respected by everyone constantly coming up to me, you know, wishing me Happy Single Awareness Day. It was fantastic.
For me, it was, well, for me, Valentine's Day is 365 days a year.
And. Absolutely. I actually did get a very nice text from a friend of mine, Raul Pacheco Vega, who's at Hummingbird 604, and he tweeted me saying in Mexico that Valentine's, it's about Valentine's, or a friendship. And so he actually tweeted me, you know, thank you for being in my life. You're a great friend. And I thought that was actually really nice.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, was bitter and sad. And no, I wasn't actually. I had a great day. I took myself out for dinner actually last night.
That's good. Yeah. I think it's important.
I did. Happy Single Awareness Day. I celebrated it. I reveled in my day. It was fantastic.
I basically stayed home with my partner and he made me dinner because I was too sick to go out anywhere.
But this has nothing to do with, you know, anything meaningful in the world. It's just my ramblings of a man with 7 coffees in him and 2 teas the last day.
But you know what? Your ramblings are very passionate, and I think that's really important. And I think in regards to what you said about Single Awareness Day, that it was really nice that Raul, who actually does teach on campus, which is really cool, He connection. That's really, really, really important. And that's one of the things community does. And it's one of the things you've done through your company as well, by doing so many great things for connecting people, not just through events, but also through a lot of the, I hate the word not-for-profit. I'm going to use the word charity instead. Not-for-profit, when you translate it into Latin, it actually means no progress. So I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah. No, I like to consider work that the quote unquote not for profits is, are, you know, that they are socially profitable businesses.
Socially profitable, I like
socially
that.
Socially profitable,
I like that a lot. One of the things I wanted to applaud you on is I follow you on Twitter. We've become better friends this year, or last year, I guess. It's been a year now.
It'll be a year, well, coming up now until March.
Because through the festival last year, which through Beauty Night, it was a wonderful to actually get to know you better through that. And thank you, by the way, for raising over $8,000 from that. And then the aftermath of that has been even more amazing. But I know I'm not here to talk about Beauty Night, but I'm talking
doesn't
about
bother
what you've
me.
Done.
Yeah. No, totally fine. I'm happy. Happy
and
to talk about it.
With the community, I've been doing my show for a really long time. Before that, I was doing Juice Box with Julia Saunders, and I'd never heard of community until you started tweeting about it. So I was really glad, and so I started following them a while ago. But it wasn't until you brought it on the forefront, and I think a lot of people
feel that way as well. And
well, Community actually went through a rebranding a couple of years ago, and so actually, so prior to being identified as Community,
they were
identified as the Center. So as the Center, you know, they've been in the city for 20 to, I think, doing service delivery for 20 to 30 years. And, you know, I mean, you mentioned Jennifer Breakspear, who's the executive director. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had the opportunity to actually spend a lot of time, you know, working with Jennifer, talking with her, volunteering with her and doing, you know, and talking about, you know, stuff. And, you know, we're actually doing an event to recognize some people on Monday next week. And, you know, talking about the stories of, you know, people that have come up just spontaneously and said, you know, that now they might be in their 40s or 50s or, you know, at whatever age they are and at whatever level in their career where they're professional and they're confident and set and saying, you know, when I moved to Vancouver in my 20s, I was really struggling and I needed help. And, you know, what's now known as Community was there for me, you know, and a resource. And that's, you know, I have this conversation where people are saying that because, you know, that Canada has marriage equality, that we don't need to be as vigilant and we don't need to, you know, we don't need to stand up and speak up and, you know, be as, you know, as aware of the conversation as we used to, because now we have these rights, you know, equal with everybody else. But I think the interesting thing is that Canada is a very small part of the world, and there is such a larger community out there that does not have the rights that we have. And, you know, until I believe that the rights have been around for enough time and have been challenged enough time and have gone through enough successive governments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, anything that has been given can be taken away.
Yes.
And, you know, so it really, it's, while there is a lessened sense of urgency maybe to speak up about marriage equality in Canada, I mean, if you look south, there's so... there is just so much, and I don't want to go into that because that's not really what I want to talk about or where I like to put my energy, but it is so amazing how, you know, merely a couple hundred miles up until just recently, you couldn't get married, you know, and now Washington State is the seventh state in the U.S. to recognize same-sex marriages, but... you know, if they come up, you know, if they come to Canada, they'd be recognized. But if we go to other state, or if they go to another state, they won't be recognized as a married couple. So these, and you know, this is more far greater implications than just, you know, a piece of paper that says that you're committed to another person. This has got inheritance issues. This has got visitation if there's children and divorce. This has got, you know, just all sorts, whole plethora.
All sorts of family things.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, I mean, even I knew someone that 10 years ago, or I think it was 10 to 12 years ago, when his partner died, neither one of them was out to the partner's family, and so they owned everything jointly together, but when the family came in, they thought he was a roommate, and so they ended up taking all the possessions of those, all the furniture and everything else, and this individual did not... you know, did not have the ability to sort of stand up and say, well, actually, this is mine. And so he ended up having to start, Brent had to find a new place, had to buy new furniture and start from scratch.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's not that long ago.
No, it's not that long ago at all.
The social media revolution is happening just as fast as the social revolution.
That's very true. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I mean, and, you know, you mentioned social media and us talking on Twitter. I think the fantastic thing about Twitter is, you know, for me, is, you know, is it's talking. And, you know, we talk a lot on Twitter. And, you know, I mean, while we're here doing live radio, I encourage anyone to tweet with me. And my username is Amuse, A-M-U-S-E, underscore, events, E-V-E-N-T-S. Tweet a question, we'll answer it on air. But, you know... when I'm, you know, I use my Twitter to really, that's part of the sphere of influence that I have or the ability that I have. And so when I'm doing some work with other folks, you know, sharing that just like I would on Facebook, just like I would conversationally. So it's an actual extension for me. And, you know, when you were in this morning, you know, saying even just, you know, on the way here, saying how excited I was that I was doing a live radio broadcast with you at City TR Radio. And, you know, so it's fun. It's great.
It's very fun. And I think that's one of the things that's important as well. You and I were chatting about this in the green room before the show, which was what, in terms of networking, Just comparing in regards to Vancouver, because a lot of times you mentioned about Singles Awareness Day yesterday, is people say this is a hard city to date in. It's cliquey. Sometimes it's hard to get to know people, not even just dating, but actually if you move here, it's hard. It's some people find the city very isolating. And what are your thoughts in regards to being able to network, or you use enough word for that?
Yes. It is very hard. Yes. I think I alluded to that it was Happy Single Awareness Day yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Not happy Mark is permanently coupled.
Not yet.
No, not yet. No, I think that, you know, I mean, I don't like the word networking because it does sometimes, you know, evoke the image of, you know, one card, two card, three card, four card. How many business cards can you exchange in an evening?
Sorry, that just makes me shudder.
I absolutely agree. I prefer the word connecting. Because it's my goal is not to get 25 business cards in an evening. My goal is to have one, two, or three authentic, genuine conversations that actually make me want to connect further with that person.
Hmm.
So sometimes, you know, in honesty, sometimes it's me being able to inspire someone that I didn't know, you know, just a conversation that sparks something. Sometimes it's them sparking me, or sometimes it's, you know, just sitting there talking like we were having a lovely time this morning when you were in the office. And, you know, I saw you talking to a friend of mine who happens to come to the space that I work in and that I share. And you know, saw you talking to Rob. And so I walked over and said, oh, I didn't know you guys knew each other. And then, you know, we had joked about that you needed a ticket to come to the awards gala that I'm, you know, at on the 28th. And so I just made that off-the-hand remark about, oh, if only someone who owned a business would buy you a ticket. And he was like, I'll buy you a ticket. And, you know, and so, like, that to me is, you know, I guess that's technically networking, but I prefer consider that connecting and really just sort of putting it out there. And so, for me, it's so easy to talk about the people and the organizations that I care about and that I think do really great work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that figure out the, you know, I've been using this phrase a lot lately, figure out the path of least resistance for these things. So, you know, for me, it's really easy for me to talk to somebody else about something else.
And you've talked about a lot of different organizations.
Yeah.
And I think this nomination is very, 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 very awesome. And because you've done so much. I know on the way here we were chatting about just the different communities you've affected. Whereas the saying we should almost have pictures of all the different communities throughout Vancouver, because I think that would make such a... seeing it is beautiful. Just so many different demographics from the downtown east side, from the work you've done from both the awareness as well as raising money, etc. For Beauty Night as an example, community is another.
Look at Emergency Aid Society, Five Hole for Food, Adoptive Family Association of BC.
Tell me about that one, because that was one I wasn't familiar with before this morning.
Yeah, so Adoptive Families is obviously a adoptive family services.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually I've actually worked with them a couple of times where I've helped them with producing an event. I've kind of gone in and helped them sort of revision what they're doing and, you know, organizationally restructure and sort of, you know, tweak. They'd done some things for a while and it was time for a bit of a change and to be different. And so I kind of came in strategically and helped them, you know, come up with, you know, highlighted some things that they might not be aware of because they were too close. So we did a little bit of that. And obviously, you know, I identify as gay, so big shock to anybody out there. And, you know, so one of the things is that, you know, that I bring to the table is my, of course, my social network and Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and all of that stuff, Google Plus and yada, yada, yada. And so, you know, they were really struggling with, they had funded a documentary called Conceiving Families. And that was ready and it was ready to go. It was ready for its world premiere. And it was actually, I believe, and I so apologize, I can't remember the woman's name who directed it and created it, produced it. But she's from Nelson, and so her and her wife documented their adoption. And so, and then also, you know, tracked five other families. And so, you know, they came to me saying, you know, that Adoptive Families Association of BC is very, very willing, wanting, and encouraging of parents that identify as LGBT to feel comfortable in the adoption process, because BC has that, you know, it's fantastic that we have that policy.
Mm-hmm.
So Adoptive Families is there to actually assist and support families that want to, you know, to adopt. And so, you know, they really wanted to reach out to the LGBT community, and they came to me and said, you know, like, we're doing this screening, we're going to hold it at the Culch, which I accidentally always call the Clutch, and I know, comic relief, and so, you know, they were hosting it at the Culch, but, you know, they weren't really sure about sponsorship, they weren't really sure about a whole bunch of things, and how could they connect and really do this. So, you know, I sat down with them, and we came up with some ideas, and, you know, and really, you know, said, okay, well, these are the main bloggers that would, you know, that would be speaking to your target audience, mm-hmm. and that we should encourage, and we maybe should do a little contest giveaway, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm like, you know, and I was sort of saying to Janice Fry, who is the program director for this initiative, and I'm like, oh, you need to find, you know, a really good MC that can, you know, is really familiar with adoptive families and can talk about what you guys do, can move the night along and keep mm-hmm. everyone engaged, but also, you know, can speak to the LGBT crowd that you're hoping to attract, and et cetera, et cetera. And then she was like, can that be you? And I was like, oh, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to emcee it. So I did, and it was a great evening. And I have to say, it was so, so inspiring. And it was one of those things where there is adoption in my family story.
Okay.
I don't want to reveal because it's not my story to tell, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
And what was very interesting was that while I was watching this documentary, it actually struck a chord to the point where I almost was uncontrollably crying while I was watching it, because it just hit a chord that it hasn't hit me for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was, you know, at that point after the screening and I was talking, it was just one of those moments where it was like, I found it really hard to move forward because it had touched me so deeply. And so, you know, that was, you know, I could see in the rest of the audience that other parts of the film had also touched them. And so, you know, that's, again, whether you're creating an event or when you're, you know, whatever you're trying to do, it's all about finding that commonality between us and connecting with it. And so, you know, to go back to your question about networking or connecting with people, it's like, what do you have in common? And how can you relate to that commonality and not about the differences? Because the differences are what make it exciting. It's the commonality that actually makes it beautiful.
That makes a lot of sense. So it comes down to almost like value systems, for
yeah.
example, whether if it's an organization. And in terms of friendship, in terms of romance, I think same thing too, where I think what's going to actually keep people together is common values.
Absolutely. Am I making any sense tonight? I've had so much coffee tonight. I'm like afraid I'm going to waxing off into some, you know, realm that everyone's like, what is he talking about?
But no, I actually think what's coming out of your mouth is very beautiful and very sincere.
Thank you.
So thank you.
It's very, it's hard because, you know, I know that this is only an hour show, and it's like, sometimes I'm like, if you ask me the right question, I will go off for 3 hours because it's sort of, you know, I mean, I really do have to say that night with AFA was quite special to me, and you know, they thought that I was special for volunteering my time to them. I thought that the opportunity was actually a greater gift to me than what I gave to them, because it was actually, you know, it validated,
yes,
you know, it validated that some of the things that I told them were correct, and they had an amazing turnout and sold out and all of that stuff. They've had great conversations since and with folks and whatever, but that, you know, just that little reminder of a part of the story that I don't talk about and that I don't share because, again, it's not my story to share. You know, I had my little moment where I was like, oh, yeah, somebody else has gone through this. And so it was really quite, you know, I took away more from that evening than what I thought I gave.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But that's what makes it really beautiful sometimes. Because you're not expecting to get, and then there is some truth to that whole expression, you know, you know, it's better to give than to receive, which sounds so pious when people say it, but when you describe what you get out of it, that's the beautiful part, because it's not your intention as to why you went in and gave that.
True. And, you know, I'm known for saying some very cheesy sayings. And, you know, for years, during the holiday, I don't want to say Christmas, during the holiday season, my email signature for the month of December, I would change it. And what it would say would be, if you give with both hands, your arms are open wide to receive. And I know that's remarkably cheesy, but every time I say that, the image that's in my head is two hands open. And, you know, whereas if you only give with one hand, the other arm is, you know, is closed into your body. And so I just like, you know, if you give with both hands, the expectation is that you're not getting anything back because you're giving it away, mm-hmm. but you're so open to receive what else is out there. And so, you know, that's something that I really have tried to live by for quite a few years. But, you know, really since kind of my early to mid-20s, mm-hmm. that's kind of been one of the things that I've really struggled to grow into that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the ripe old age of 42, I think I'm closer to the open arms than I was at 24. But, you know, it's always a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of exciting.
I think it's really exciting, too. Yeah. And in regards to, that's one of the other areas as well, which is the five holes for food, isn't it? In terms of, made me think of Richard in regards to you.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if he's listening because he's, you know, he's in school full time and running a not-for-profit full time or a socially profitable.
Love it.
And he also has a day job, you know, so like it's kind of crazy. But here's a guy who actually, I met him a year ago through a colleague of, mutual colleague of ours, Dixon Tam, who's doing communications at
SFU.
Sorry, UBC. And, you know, Dixon just said, hey, can you spare an hour to talk to this guy, Richard? He's doing this really cool thing. He's playing hockey across Canada and he's raising money for the food bank. And I'm like, dude, do you not know how much I'm not a hockey fan? And he's like, it's not about the hockey. It's about community. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll do it for you. So I sat down with Richard at a Blends coffee shop at Hamilton and Helmkin near my office. And, we sat down for an hour and we talked about what he was doing. And I was just, you know, I'd already made my commitment to community for the year, which I absolutely mm-hmm. was not going to back away from. But I was so impressed by what this 22-year-old was doing. And I was like, I'm in. Do you need? You know, and so we did our talk. I talked about sponsorship. I, you know, made some recommendations and helped him do some stuff. And, you know, and what's the most amazing thing is that, you know, he took what I said and then he applied it to his own life and his own vision of what was happening. And so, you know, he took the knowledge that I've earned over 20 something years and made it relevant to him.
He put it into practice.
Put it into practice in his own way. And, you know, and then what, you know, he went from, you know, an original tour in 2010 of, you know, two sponsors and $4,000 budget, which raised, you know, because obviously it costs money to drive back across the Canada. Mm-hmm. I think they did 9 cities.
Wow.
And they raised 6,000 pounds of food in there. And it was just a couple of buddies hopping in a car, driving and playing road hockey in cities and, you know, tweeting people, hey, join us here, bring some food, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, last year he had, I think it was around 45 volunteers in total, helped to organize everything. They did 13 cities. 3 to 4 of them drove across the country doing this tour, and they raised in excess of over 45,000 pounds of food with the support of 8 great sponsors. And, you know, I mean, General Motors came on board, MarketWire, which is a, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
Yeah, they're amazing because they supported
Beauty Night
last year. And so, you know, so really, you know, London Drugs was a great support. TELUS came on board. And so a lot of these companies have already started to, you know,
support
for the 2012 tour. And, you know, I think we're actually going to double.
That's,
I think,
fantastic.
And again, I don't speak for Five Hole. I'm just, you know, they happen to be my charity for 2012.
Nice.
And I, you know, do whatever I can for them. But I you know, I'm a volunteer just like most everybody else. So very impressed. And, you know, I mean, honestly, again, I'm getting way more from this than I feel I'm giving. I'm so, you know, just to see what they're doing and, you know, being able to put food in people's mouths in 13 cities across the country, that is way more than I could personally do. You know, I mean, it's a great thing, and to be part of something like that is really quite special.
I think it's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, and you know, honestly, they're great kids. I say kids and in their 20s. They're great kids doing great things across the country and having a fantastic time doing it and, you know, inspiring other people to step up, which is at the end of the day, you know, nobody can do it all by themselves. So it's like if you're doing something and it's inspiring other people to take action,
mm-hmm.
that's what's really amazing.
No, it really is. We're going to take a really quick short break.
Fantastic. I'm ready. Rock it. I'm here, baby. I'm here all night. I'm ready to go.
I
26
love it.
More minutes of magic here.
And when we get back, we're going to have a lot more of Mr. Mark Smith, which I love, from Amuse Consulting. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. As soon as I can get the ads playing.
Do you want me to sing, I'm sexy and I know it?
Yeah, go for it.
No, that was it. That's the extent of my karaoke.
I may have to have you on again because you're a very entertaining and amusing guest on the show.
I am Amuse Consulting. I picked that name for a reason.
And on that note, we're going to take a really quick short break. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM, CITR. We'll be right back.
Born in Nova Scotia in 1911, mezzo-soprano Portia White is considered to be one of the greatest concert singers of all time. She took voice lessons at the Halifax Conservatory of Music and began singing on radio broadcasts hosted by her father in the 1930s. She established renown by competing in the Halifax Music Festival, winning the Helen Kennedy Silver Cup on 3 occasions. Her official debut came at age 30 in Toronto's Eaton Auditorium. She gained acclaim across North America following a performance at Town Hall, New York, setting off a successful tour of Canada and the U.S. She finished her career primarily as a vocal teacher, performing her final concert in Ottawa in July 1967. Next up is a clip from the only official recording of Portia's music, entitled Where the Roses Never Fade.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Born in Nairobi, Kenya, David Nandi Othiambo moved to Winnipeg in 1977 before eventually settling in Vancouver, where he has written three novels entitled Disabandoned Nation, Kiplaget's Chance, and The Reverend's Apprentice. Disabandoned Nation tells the story of a local jazz singer hiding from immigration officials in a flophouse on Vancouver's east side. Othiambo has called this work, in part, an impressionistic sketch of the disparity between Vancouver's west and east side.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.
And we are back at Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM. If you want to talk to Mr. Mark Smith from Amuse Consulting, you can call in if you'd like and ask some questions about how people can get involved or actually about all sorts of stuff.
Sure, I'll answer any questions.
I've been told that he'll answer anything. So 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So what would you recommend to anybody who is interested in connecting with people, just in general, because you've been able to connect and grow so many different communities within Vancouver, which, as we were talking about at the top of the hour, can be a really difficult place to connect?
I think that, you have to sort of, I guess, put yourself in, you know, like, just lose the fear, you know, mm-hmm. lose the fear. And I mean, I need to take notes on this and remind myself of these things, you know, because I'm terrible in some situations. But, you know, most other people are feeling exactly what you're feeling in that situation, that, you know, no one's going to talk to me, da 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 da. So just, you know, like, I think being generally interested in other people also really helps. I mean, I'm a ridiculously, you know, huge talker, so I can fill up an hour very, very easily. But, you know, when I'm meeting someone new, I try to ask a lot of questions, and I like to, you know, like, so what do you, you know, what's important to you, or mm-hmm. tell me more about what you do, or, you know, be genuinely interested, because people love, you know, ask questions so you can pull the information out of people. If it's if it's like pulling teeth, just, you know, say thank you and move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know some people like to, that are professional networkers, like to, you know, use the leapfrog or the, you know, that, you know, kind of, you know, move from person to person to person quite quickly, get your little information, do the business card exchange, and then move on. I'm much more of a fan of actual conversation and really doing some deeper engagement and, you know, and really finding out where the connection is. Because again, I, you know, like to say that I prefer connecting or mm-hmm. connector as I, you know, for people that are out there that enjoy reading books, Malcolm Gladwell's A Tipping Point, you know, that's one of the things he describes as, and that's what I identify. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I've actually read that section because someone sent it to me saying that, hey, Mark, this is what you are, is a connector. And when I, you know, read that little piece, I was like, it did resonate for me. Mm. You know, and then there's another networking group that I used to belong to years ago, and, you know, you're a member of it now, but the phrase that's always resonated for me, and even though I no longer belong to them, I still think it's actually a great tool. But, you know, I identify myself from a connecting perspective as a farmer, not a hunter. You know, a hunter goes out into the world, shoots, kills, and eats. Mm. And that's it, and then discards.
Yes.
You know, so that's very much what I would equate to being like a a Wall Street mentality. You know, you're going after the kill, you're going after the dollar, you're doing it, you know, no judgment calls from me here on that. But that's a style. Whereas I tend to go the long term, so I would consider myself more of the farmer connecting term, and, you know, that's someone who works the earth and who toils in it and, you know, waters it and fertilizes it and, you know, plants the seeds and then, you know, watches it and nurtures it and helps to make it grow. And, you know, and then, you know, and that the food from that goes to feed other people. And so that's, you know, kind of the model for connecting and for networking that I use, is that, you know, if I meet you and I talk to you, what can I ask and find out about you that I can then help you do? Like if we're obviously at a professional function, you're there for a reason to do sales or to grow your company or whatever. And so who's in my address book? Who's in my network that I think that you can provide value or that they can provide value to you? And it has to be genuine. It's not like I'm going to make this introduction and then I expect you to give me a referral fee and whatever. I don't believe in that. If someone does that in the business world, that's totally fine. And I certainly have accepted, you know, gotten baskets because I've referred a job to somebody or whatever, but that's not why I do it. I do it because, you know, I might know 5 mortgage brokers, for example, and if you were looking to buy a place and needed a mortgage, I would look through who the mortgage brokers that I knew and refer the one that I think would be the best fit for you, you know, and then give that to you, and then it's up to you to decide what you do with that. But I think, that's the thing, is sort of like find out what makes them tick, or find out what they're doing or what their purpose is or whatever, and then just see who you know. Be genuine, ask questions, find out about them, and then see what you know or how you can help or how you can be of service. I think that's, you know, that was how I started on Twitter, was how can I be of service to people? And that's how I started to build my following.
And you've built a really strong following.
Of which none of them are calling in with asking questions. I tweeted them asking them to come up with some questions, but nobody.
They might be shy, which is always a possibility too.
Or they might not be that used to the fact that I'm tweeting at 10:30 at night.
That's true, but I'm very, very grateful that you're on the show. So
I didn't mean that I'm not up at 10 o'clock at night. I'm just not very rarely tweeting at 10 o'clock at night.
Ironically, sometimes I am, just not always during the show, because if I've got someone in the studio, I don't always do that. Sometimes I pre-sketch.
Well, I will admit I do not drunk tweet.
That's a very important rule, I think, in general. I don't think it's a smart thing to.
It's also not good for me to meet someone brand new when I'm drunk as well. That's just never a good mix. But, yeah. So I think I should turn the tables on you and ask you a question.
Sure.
So what are your tips for connecting? Because you're not that bad at it yourself, Miss Caroline. How do you connect? What's your top 1 or 2 points?
In terms of for dating or just connecting in general?
Dating, I'm single. Let's go the dating route. What should I be doing differently?
Dating, a lot of things you're already doing, and a lot of times I read the room. If I'm going to an event where my intention, I haven't been single for a while, but when I was single, I always had a wingman with me. For 2 reasons. One, because sometimes they'd meet somebody who was a better fit for me, and then that way you're farming the room together. and finding.
But what do you, what do you think about having a wingman that's actually already hooked up, so that there's no competition? Do you think? I've heard that that's a good rule.
There is a company, I think it's called It's Just Lunch, that actually does do that, where you actually hire that person to be your wing.
Oh, well, I don't think I need to hire someone.
No, you don't.
I think I would have friends that are partnered up that I could probably find a willing person, but, you know.
And I think part of it is intention, too, in regards to relationship, that you are open to it, because that's part of it as well. And being upfront about it, and it's not, you know, going after somebody when you meet them and just like, hi, I want a relationship, I want to be married, and, you know, adopt children with you.
Is that what I've been doing wrong? I hand it to them on a card, and I don't understand why that hasn't worked. Just joking.
No, but a lot of it, I think, I always do the eye contact, because right. I think eye sex can be very fun. And
oh, I like that, eye sex.
And have some fun, where it's just like, it's the eye
sex. Can we have platonic eye sex?
Oh, totally.
Okay, let's have a little right now. Thank God this is a radio show.
I know, but
I'm going to deepen my voice.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, stop it.
But just eye contact is a huge thing. And one of the things you mentioned about having both arms basically giving with two hands, I think that's really important too, because sometimes body language wise, we're out there, we get 90% of our information from what we see, 10% from what we hear. So a lot of times, whether it's be a networking event, whether it be somewhere where you see somebody that you're really attracted to, sometimes it's because of the fact the body language is closed off. So we don't approach them because we don't think they're open to it. And so that's the other thing too. So be mindful. Also go somewhere with intention as well. So if it's like, my goal used to be when I was single, is I want to go, if it's a party, I want to have at least one really good quality conversation with one person tonight.
Right.
And that was my goal, which, sounding like network-wise, you and I are on the same page with a lot of things, where it's really important to have that quality over quantity.
Well, in the earlier days, it was like, I want to do one shot of tequila with, you know, somebody. So I think I'm kind of beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, cool.
And then from there, it's the same thing where it's follow-up. And again, really checking in with yourself, what do you want? And being really true to that, because I think that's important too. And it's the same like with business though, where things do come, like, you know, come available, but that's why you do a business plan. And in terms of relational, same thing, where it's like, this is what I'd like to get out of something. And again, the open hand, I really love that image of giving with both hands, where you're open, so you're open for that hug, you're open to receive, literally, but putting it into the relational realm as well.
Cool.
And so all those things, because you've written the manual, you just need to read it in a different context with a different lens.
The comment that I hear most, and I usually hear this 2 months after the fact that they're in a relationship with somebody else, is that I was too intimidating.
Okay.
Which is hilarious, because chances are I was putting up a good front because I was so nervous, so I was so boisterously, energetically, you know, happy, smiley conversing that I probably was not. So even though I was visually open to conversation, I was, you know, internally a little bit shut off because I was, you know, the guard was up, I was nervous. So, which, you know, when you're, as a tip, you know, from a professional connecting perspective, the people that don't listen are usually there. I find that there are two types of people that don't listen when you're in that environment. They're either not there to listen, and all they're there to do is to sell a product, in which case those are the ones that I quickly move away from.
Mm-hmm.
Or they are in a situation where they're so nervous that they that the energy is creating the, you know, diarrhea of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they just talk, and they don't stop to breathe and to listen. And so usually what I end up doing with those is, you know, especially if I think there's something worth talking to them about, is letting them run out the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just give them the 5 minutes to just talk, get a little bit of that nervous energy out of their system, and then just sort of, you know, make a comment about, like, you know, God, it's really tough here tonight, isn't it? You know, like, did you come solo? Me too, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and kind of like let the air out of the nervous air balloon a little bit, you know? So those are the kinds of, but I think it's really easy to tell. mm-hmm. which camp people fall into. So now I'm being slightly more professional.
And I think that's important too, because even if it's a date, acknowledging that it's nervous, whether it be something like, say, speed dating, which isn't as popular these days. I see it more with networking as opposed to with actual dating. And I think in Vancouver can be a tough city to date in, because we are really casual. It's hard to tell when you're out for coffee with someone, is this actually a date or not? Right. So sometimes it comes down to, I guess, one of the points I think you're making in terms of being open to things is just acknowledging if there's nerves and if there's intention where it's like, I think you're really cool, I want to get to know you, and I am open to a relationship.
Absolutely. I also think that, you know, I mean, it's funny because I know that this is obviously a show about sexuality and things of that nature, but, and, you know, I don't have that as a business. But one of the things that I find really fascinating is, you know, I often get approached because I own a business and I'm pretty high profile, that people call me for coffees or interning or, you know, just informational interviews about breaking into the industry and that. And I find that, you know, I'm really actually having to coach people on actually how to approach business owners for this.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope this doesn't offend any of your listeners, but there's a huge sense of entitlement with a lot of folks. You know, I know this, I'm going to get out of university and walk into a $70,000 a year job, or I'm going to do this, or I've done this, and I'm like, you know, I have to tell you, I'm in year 8 of my business, and, you know, it's not, you know, there are huge benefits for me, and I'm loving what I do, but, you know, bringing home a six-figure income is not one of those benefits at this moment, because of obviously choices that I've made, because I have a values-based business. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, sort of like a lot of times, and I'll get this from, you know, really great suppliers that have really great products and stuff like that, but all they'll do is they'll just simply email spam. I have a new product, you should check this out, look at my YouTube video or do this. And, you know, and I'm like, why don't you actually ask me for a coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you send me an email saying that you're interested in sharing some information about your business? Do I have time for a coffee? Because what they're doing is they're what I like to refer to as gill net marketing. They are throwing this massive net into the water and they're hoping that they're going to get one big piece of tuna that's going to feed the family for a year. And instead, they're getting all this other little stuff and then, you know, da 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 da. And so, whereas I would much rather prefer spending my time actually trying to identify, you know, really great referral partners or businesses that I'm going to align with and from a values perspective and actually target them, spend the time to actually get to know them, converse with them, build a relationship with them, because they could probably hire me once, twice, three or four times. And so, you know, it's, I have a blanket policy that if you call me and or email me or tweet me and ask for an informational, you'll get 30 minutes. I don't care if you want to break into the industry, if you have a product to sell, or, you know, if you want, if you're a, you know, if you have a violin, a duo or a cello or whatever, if you're anything like that, if you want 30 minutes, I'll give you 30 minutes. I can't guarantee I'll give it to you today or tomorrow, but I will give you 30 minutes probably within a 2-week time period. If you simply email me that you're looking for a job and here's your resume, or if you say you have a product to sell, whatever, you just get put into a folder, an email folder, and the automatic response saying, thank you very much. If we have a need for your product, we will be in touch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I literally could probably spend 15 to 20 minutes a day, every day, just dealing responding and looking for that. And so, you know, so I think that, you know, from a coaching and an approach perspective, it's like, stop trying to walk up to every girl in the bar and say hi. Find the one that you can make the eye contact with, build a relationship with. And, you know, I was lucky enough to actually spend some time this morning prior to you and I met, and, you know, met a, sounds like he's a very talented individual. He seems to know what he's doing, and, you know, he's trying to transition to a job that's really passionate for him, not one that's just fulfilling a monetary need.
A
and
six-figure income?
Possibly. And, you know, and so we had a great conversation, and, you know, it's not like he's just come out of, you know, high school or university. He's got a little bit of experience under his belt, but, you know, it's a different world. And, you know, he took the time to actually, you know, find someone that we had in common Common, asked them if they could do a recommendation to me about if I would be willing to give him some time. And then I said, absolutely, have him call me. Then he messaged me. We set up a date for a coffee. He came by and, you know, and instead of half an hour, it actually ended up being about an hour and 15 minutes. So, you know, you need to win people over to your side because people want to help other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, and again,